because it's about be careful. You know, it's got to be careful what you wish for.
Be careful what you wish! Exclamation point for. Thank you. Okay.
Okay. All right. golf clap. Golf clap.
Hey everyone, today on the Popcorn Fix podcast, we are going to be discussing the 2003 Disney Channel original movie, You Wish, starring AJ Troth, and Lalaine. But first, me and Bobby talk about ever having to hold our bladders during going to the movie theaters. So, yeah, enjoy that conversation and enjoy the podcast. Thanks. Let's open the podcast with asking a very important question.
Okay.
Is there a movie theater story that you just had to really pee, but you held it?
There have definitely been cases of that. Yes, that has happened to me. And there have been at least a couple movies that I made it through to the end because I didn't want to leave. Honestly, part of the problem is just getting through a crowd of people. And I hate having to like budge my way through a line of seats. And that's why you might have a similar practice. I really, really, I prefer to sit on the aisle if it's full. Right. So if I'm going to a movie that's like,
now, is the bladder full or is the theater full?
If the theater is full,
okay.
I try to sit on the aisle. Yes. Good question. Thank you for it. Needed clarification.
I got you.
So I sit by the aisle now because that's the biggest barrier for me when I have to pee during a movie. It's not even missing the movie. It's just like interrupting like 20 people to piss. And I like to get a drink at the movie.
Okay.
But I tend not to drink it until like the last half hour.
See,
just to make sure.
I feel like I'm the opposite. I'll finish my popcorn before the movie starts.
Well, the food, yeah, that's fine. It's the drink, though. Okay. If I get like an iced tea or something, it'll be like once every 10 minutes, I'll just kind of like, and like just like a little one, you know?
Yeah.
And then towards the end of the movie when I'm like, okay, my bladder is still good. Like we're getting near the end. And then I start to like, you know.
Then you normal. Do it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my worst peeing thing mm-hmm. was I didn't want to go. It was during Les Mis back in 2012.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a, 2.5 hour movie. I had to pee probably around 1:45. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to miss any of these songs. Anne Hathaway shaved her head for this. I can hold my bladder.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
good for you.
Thank you. Welcome to our podcast, Popcorn Flix, which is not a podcast about pissing, but I thought that would be a fun intro. But it's a podcast about Disney Channel original movies. Popcorn was usually sound in my house on Friday nights when a new Disney Channel original movie was premiering. By 7 o'clock, I'd be sitting on my couch waiting for the premiere, whether it be classes like how... I need to enunciate. I'm going to say that sentence again. Sorry. By 7 o'clock, I'd be sitting on my couch waiting for the premiere, whether it be classics like Halloween Town or High School Musical. There's a lot of nostalgia for... Are you yawning?
No, dude, I'm fine.
What are you stifling? Are you stifling a cough?
No, I was laughing because you kept messing up, so... I was trying not to laugh.
No, you're okay.
Okay, I'm just gonna... It's fine.
There's a lot of nostalgia to these movies, and that's...
Yeah, sorry. Well, now I'm like just looking at myself This is, oh boy.
That's okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. By 7, I'd be sitting on my couch waiting for the premiere, whether it be classics like Halloween Town or High School Musical. There's a lot of nostalgia to these movies, and that's what this podcast is about, revisiting Disney Channel original movies all these years later. I'm Daniel, I'm 25, and I've seen half of these movies, which there's 108 of. And my co-host, Bobby, is 34 and has seen maybe 10 of them. Obviously, we're no longer the target audience for these movies, but that's what makes this fun. So, Bobby, now that we've talked about pissing, how are you doing in general?
And now that you've gotten through your intro. No, I'm hanging in there. I had a little bit of a tummy ache last couple of days, but I think I'm over that.
Okay.
And how are you?
I'm good. Okay, before I get into that, I thought I would say that we tried recording an episode for this, 4 or 5 days ago? And
we did, yeah.
Last Thursday, and today's, Thursday? So a week ago. And it was pretty good, but it was like 2.5 hours, and I just think I wanted to re-record it to see if we could do it quicker.
Yeah, we talked a lot about a lot of good stuff. I definitely rambled, though. I did a lot of rambling.
But we're talking about 20 minutes about our bodily functions, so I think this is going the same way.
So far. We'll see what happens when we get into the movie.
Yeah, so maybe we'll get there. We'll get to the movie.
We'll get there.
First, I just thought the first episode was not that family friendly. We were a bit offensive because the movie that we were doing, Luck of the Irish, is offensive. Mm-hmm. So we were like, we'll counterbalance that. We'll be rude too, but this time we're going to try to make it more PG-13. Oh, you could raise your hand?
Yes, did you see that? excuse me.
Excuse me, sir. I'd like to...
May I speak? May I interrupt you?
I'm going to lower your hand. That's amazing. How do you do that?
In the menu, more... Down at the bottom, you might see a tab for participants.
Yeah. Manage participants.
Yes. Then I think maybe in there you might see the options. Now, it also... two things. I'm on my iPad, so it's probably somewhere different for you. The other thing is you're the host, so it might be a little different yet. If you're the host.
I'll just have to do it in person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, now, that's fine. I saw that. Go ahead, sir.
My friend, what were you raising your hand for?
I have just a little bit of follow-up from our first episode that I would like to share with you. We talked a lot about how, like, horridly offensive it seemed with all the Irish stereotypes. Like, we're talking, like, leprechauns chasing a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. More than that, though, it was like really in your face Irish stereotypes. And so I have a friend. I asked a friend of mine who's Irish, stone cold hard Irish.
Okay.
Like, and I told her about this movie, and I said, like, what like is actually offensive? Like, is any of this offensive? And she told me, she said, you know what? All the mythology, all the leprechaun stuff, like, we don't care. That's all in good fun. Like, that doesn't bother us at all. And she said, the only real stereotype that bothers us is the stereotype that we're all drunk all the time.
Okay, and there's no drunkenness.
No. Everyone was sober, totally sober in this movie. So I guess there was nothing wrong with it after all.
So you're telling me we were just offended for Irish people when it's not offensive?
Classic woke people today, right? Being offended on behalf of other people.
We were trying to be social justice warriors for people who needed no justice.
Yes. I mean, we meant well, right? We meant well.
We love Irish people. We love leprechauns and Lucky Charms.
Yeah, we do. That's why we stood up for them.
Saying it sarcastically. Put that movie in its place. Saying it sarcastically, you know, but yeah, we do love them.
Yeah. Totally. Okay. Yeah, we love Irish people.
I was going to say that sounds sarcastic, Bobby. Okay, we're not going to be offensive. No sarcasm. Also, before we get into the movie, that great theme song at the beginning of the episode was created by our partner site, Extra Features Podcast, which I am also a co-host on. You can find them at extrafeatures.ca.
Who specifically did the theme song?
Simon.
Simon? Okay.
Yes.
That's awesome, Simon. Thank you so much for doing that. Many, many thank yous. Oh, they didn't see that. This is just audio.
Yes. Okay. Now we're. Well,
thank you.
For listeners at home or wherever you are, hopefully you're home doing this, but
you better be at home.
Yeah. We're on Zoom, so we're trying it out with video, but I'm not actually going to release the video because we're two awkward people and we're kind of trying to get used to it. By the way, listeners, we spoil everything. So before we get into the movie, just know if you haven't seen it, we spoil everything. If you don't want to see it, it's a good movie, but we spoil everything. So if you don't mind knowing what happens, listen away. Today, our Disney Channel original movie is the 2003 film You Wish! Exclamation point. Now, this Disney Channel original movie is basically the best friends of Disney Channel shows movie. It makes sense somewhere in there when I explain it. It stars AJ Troth as Alex Lansing, who's best known for being Alan Twitty, Lewis's best friend of Heist at the Screech, Lewis's best friend on Even Stevens, and Elaine as Abby, who plays his best friend. Oh my God, what am I, 12?
Do you want me to interrupt you? Would that be better?
No, it's okay. AJ Troth and Elaine as Abby, who plays his best friend and love interest, who's best known for being Miranda on The Lizzie McGuire. Now, it also stars Spencer Breslin as Stevie Lansing, the little brother.
Yeah, I remember that kid from Cat in the Hat.
I saw the Cat in the Hat in theaters for a buddy's birthday party.
Nice.
Yeah, I liked it as a kid, but you know, I don't think it's a good movie, but it's kind of fun. Guilty pleasure.
Oh, I thought it was good. Yeah, Mike Myers, solid.
Yeah. Now, for the rest of the cast, there's Peter Feeney and Sally Stockwell as Alex and Stevie's parents. And there are also two casting universes that I thought were interesting. Tim Reed plays the store owner of Coin World. He played Mike Hanlon in the 1990 miniseries Stephen King's It. And Jay Ryan, who I think he plays a character named Charles, who I could only assume is one of the jocks. He went on to play adult Ben Hanscom in It Chapter 2.
Oh, there's an It connection there.
Yes. There's also a Power Rangers universe. Emma Lahanna, who plays the cheerleader Fiona, went on to play the Yellow Power Ranger in 2004's Power Rangers Dino Thunder. And Ari Boland, who plays Alex's best friend James, went on to play the Blue Power Ranger in 2009's Power Rangers RPM.
Holy.
Yeah. And I thought
I was a huge Power Rangers fan when I was a kid. But I have not seen those movies.
They're TV shows.
Yeah, so I saw the original. I was a fan of the original, and then I just got too old for it, I think.
Okay. I will move on, though, and I will just talk about the premise of this movie.
Yeah.
Okay, so I made my own little summary, and I'm just going to say it. Alex Lansing is 16, a bench warmer for his high school football team, and feels like a loser. His little brother, Stevie, does not help with that. When Stevie gets a coin and is told the coin grants one wish, he gives it to Alex, and Alex wishes he didn't have a younger brother. In an alternate universe, Alex is the popular quarterback at school, with a cheerleader, Fiona, as his girlfriend, and he has everything he ever wanted, except his two best friends and Stevie. And Stevie is now a TV star called Terrence Russell McCormick. And I think we could start there with him being a TV star in this alternate universe.
I thought that was a really hilarious, hilarious plot twist to find out that he was still alive as this like really famous child actor. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, and I liked how they characterized him as being lonely and wanting to have a regular life, and his stardom makes him lonely. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, they added a few really nice layers to this movie, because it could have just been, you know, older brother trying to get his younger brother back, or get like back to the real reality. But instead, they show like what life is like for alternate Stevie. They also, like, he loses his best friend. He loses his other friend who is also his love interest. So there's like the stakes are raised. So that was nice. It was a more, if I may say so now, a much more complex story than was Luck of the Irish.
Yes, very much so. But they both have sports. But
they do both have sports. Lots of sports.
Before we get into the sports, I think there's a bit of like on the nose stuff of like the sentiment of the movie of just wanting an older brother in general. Of there's an ad where Terrence/Stevie says, like, "You're my big brother. Make a boy's wish come true, and his life would never be the same." So, I mean, I accept it being on the nose. And at another point, I think Alex is watching a thing on TV, and the guy on TV says, "Oh, when Van Gogh was alive, only his brother respected him because he was the only person that bought one of his paintings."
Yeah. You know, there were definitely really on the nose moments like that, including the picture on the wall, there's that, but then also just the, it's really obvious foreshadowing when they show the original family photo, because if you've seen any time travel movies anywhere ever, you know what's coming when you see that. You know, it's sort of that classic Back to the Future move where the like things change.
Oh, so it's him in the picture, and then when he looks at it again, it's just going to be him and the parents.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I think the movie, like in general, I think it shows it well that like the movie's kind of like an anthem of the younger child, right? Like Alex feels like Stevie is wrecking his life just because his parents are paying more attention to him. And when Stevie, they want a pet, and Stevie wants a rabbit, Alex wants a dog, so they settle on a turkey.
Yes, which really Stevie also wants. So
yes, exactly.
And it's like, sort of a compromise, but it's like more like Stevie gets what he wants.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I want a rabbit. Wait, why get a rabbit when I could have a turkey?
Yeah.
I think those parts are kind of funny, but I think I liked this movie so much when I was a kid because I guess me and my brother never really got along when we were younger. I mean, you know, every brother relationship, right? I think if, you know, in a way it makes you be like, oh, well, I wouldn't want to wish my brother away. I love him, you know? Yeah. And like I saw myself in Stevie, like when Stevie is touching Alex's rollerblades, he's like, "I'm gonna yell," and that's totally me. And when Alex says, "Oh, this is my stuff," like that's also me, because my brother would always take my shirts and say, "Oh, it was in my laundry."
It's
yeah.
Oh, I totally get that. I was like super protective of all of my toys when I was a kid. And I had a brother and a sister, and I was the oldest, and often me and my brother would have the same things, like we'd get kind of like the same toys sometimes, and I would always like note the tiny imperfections in each of them so that I knew which one was mine, and then I would make sure that like my brother didn't play with mine, even though they were exactly the same.
I love that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure my brother broke one of those cork guns I got at like Miss Tigglywinkle's. I'm pretty sure he played with it once, the cork flew out, and I was like, hey, I don't, never mind that this toy was probably made for 25 cents, but you broke my toy.
Yeah. I think, like, to your point, overall, this movie, I don't mean to speak in generalities too soon here about, like, the overall.
No, it's okay.
Movie, but, like, it did what it set out to do very well.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, it was almost borderline a little bit too sad for me. A happy ending, folks. Like, no, I'm not saying it was a sad movie, but, like, just it was quite touching in the end, and it, like, it really made you believe in that relationship and, like, see the value in having an older brother and having a younger brother, if that's the case. Like, you know, even though we may get annoyed sometimes. Yeah, so that was like a very touching story. Quite lovely.
Yeah, I agree. Because, I mean, yeah, it makes you think about your brothers or your siblings. And pretty sure that's why I liked it when I was younger. And mm-hmm. I feel like I thought this was peak drama when I was a kid. Like when when he gets the brother back, you know, and then the Stevie has taken out his bike and he's crashed it. And he thinks that his brother's going to kill him. And he just goes to give him a hug because he gets him back, you know. I don't know if I cried when I was younger, but, I mean, I didn't cry this time. I had a little tickle in my eye, you know. I mean, these are concluding thoughts at the beginning, you know, but I feel like it hits the emotional beats.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. No, and I don't mind, like, talking about that now because.
No, me neither.
I also think that this is all in contrast for me to the last movie that we saw, Luck of the Irish, which was just, there's nothing in that movie that landed for me. And in this one, it was a much more clean and compelling story. So we're maybe off to a false start for movie number one, but now I feel like, oh, this is like, you know, this could be good. This is a good one.
Yeah, so what you're saying is with the first episode, you were regretting taking this journey with me, but now with the second episode, you're like, ah, you know what? It could be okay.
You totally redeemed yourself.
You did something stupid, and then you totally redeemed yourself. Yes.
You bet.
But yeah, no, I like I liked how, you know, it makes you think of your siblings, and me and my brother are like 17 months apart, and, in the movie here, like, Alex is 16 and Stevie is 10.
Right, yeah. So that's actually a pretty big age gap.
Yeah.
I think that making, like, the six-year age gap was, I think it was a smart choice because it just sort of, like, emphasized the big brother, little brother relationship, right? Because the bigger, the larger the gap is, the more likely the older brother is to be an actual, like, parental figure, you know?
Yeah, that's true, because Stevie definitely worships him, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's on the nose with him looking up at him in the picture, but I like it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to talk about any nitpicks that you have with this film? Even though we like it, there's always something to nitpick.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you asked, because I can't stress enough that overall it's a really good movie.
Yes.
And I would recommend that people watch this. The one thing that bothered me though in the very beginning is you could tell they were trying to highlight the relationship. They were trying to highlight the various aspects of the relationship, and sometimes, you know, they would show them actually being like quite loving and caring and having a good time together, and then other times it seemed that Stevie was being annoying or whatever. But I thought it was weird when they had like the pizza scene with the bullies, and the bullies came and like dumped the pizza on his head.
It's pizza time.
Yeah, and first of all, that was that's weird. I mean, we don't have to get into that.
But I would like to get into it, and just the fact that a detour. The fact that the bullies are spending $12 probably in 2003 money on medium pizzas and wasting it on
pizza. Thank you. Who, in what universe are high school kids able to just dump like that amount of money on it? Let's just totally toss out a good pizza. I do not understand that at all.
Because they have
It seems
they have to get the bully pizza, and then they have to get the pizza that they want to eat.
I guess so. Yeah, that like just seems like a waste of money to me. That's a weird way to bully someone.
Waste of pizza too.
Yeah. Well, more importantly, total waste of pizza.
More importantly, now sorry. What else were you saying? I interrupted.
That's okay. I thought it was a bit odd how I understand they were trying to set up the brothers' relationship, but when they got to the pizza moment, the pizza gets dumped on his head, and then it cuts to kind of like a montage, and it's introed with this narration from Alex, who's like, "That wasn't the first time Stevie messed me up," and then it shows like all these other examples of Stevie like kind of being annoying and hogging the attention and stuff like that. But I thought, how did Stevie mess up? Like, how was the pizza bully thing Stevie's fault?
In that specific moment, I think it's the fact that he says, Gary, my brother's so much a much better football player than you. But otherwise, I agree. It's like, oh, he's just being an annoying little brother.
Yeah, see, I don't think that, like, I don't think they'd set that up well enough, you know, to the point where when he said, "That wasn't the first time Stevie messed me up," that, like, I got really thrown off by that. I was like, wait, what? How did Stevie? But you know what? I will say, though, that I think they ended up in the end doing a pretty good job of setting up the relationship. But it's like up to that point, I was like, whoa, they have not set that up yet. So that's like, that's my one kind of little nitpicky thing.
Yeah, I can agree that it's in the beginning, the relationship building isn't that great. And I think that leads pretty well into my nitpick. I think we'll talk about the jocks more later.
Sure.
But yeah, my nitpick is the whole scene where they lose Stevie. Alex and his best friend James, they go to Coin World with Stevie because Alex's mom makes him take Stevie. The shop owner this is when he gives Stevie the coin because the shop owner trips on a fry and he saves him. He's like, oh yeah, I'm a good citizen. And then he gets a coin for it. But my point is, my nitpick is the fact that they get there about 12 o'clock or 1 p.m. And that's when the guy opens. And then they stand there until closing at 6 p.m., looking at coins all day without buying anything. And then they don't look at Stevie once.
Yeah, so I knew where you were going with this because that struck me as they lose Stevie because they take him to the mall, they set him on a bench, and they go into Coin World for 6 hours.
At least. It could be eight.
Even. And eventually Stevie walks away. Yeah, we don't even know how long, but it's like many, many hours because they get there when it opens. And then...
Yeah, because it could have been like 10 a.m. So it's between 6 and 8 hours that they're looking at
coins. We don't know. Yeah, exactly. We don't know because it was 6 p.m., right, when they finally leave?
Yeah, it was like, oh, it's... And he's like, it's 6 o'clock. I'm closing, boys. And Alex is like,
yeah.
Oh, wait, 6 o'clock. Stevie!
And they were also just standing at the counter at the front of the store. This is a mall we're talking, right? So all you have to do to see Stevie is just like turn your head a little bit.
Yeah.
And you see him sitting on the bench.
Stevie could be like, hey, I've finished my fries. I gotta use the bathroom. I'll be back. Because you gave me about 6 bags of fries. So I could eat over 6 hours and I ate every one of them.
Yeah, that was definitely a weak point for sure. Like, can I tell you where I thought they were gonna go?
Yes.
Oh, with that?
Sure.
Because I thought that I thought what was going to happen is that, like, Alex has this crush on this hot cheerleader. And
I had a crush on her as well when I was a kid. I'll just get that out there.
Fair enough. So I thought what was going to happen is like he would land a date with his crush, but then, you know, he'd have to babysit his brother while going on this date, and it'd be a huge disaster. His brother would ruin the date, and then that's when he'd be like, oh, I wish I never had a little brother. That's what I thought was going to happen. But instead, they go to Coin World for 6 hours or more. And I just thought that's kind of dumb. Just kind of dumb, gotta say.
Yeah, that's...
I'm with you on that.
That's definitely... I love Disney Channel original movies, but sometimes like the setup is definitely that good. That is one of the the weaker setups, but still better than anything Luck of the Irish did.
Oh, 100%. Oh, yeah.
Because at least it's like, oh, I'm following the rainbow, but Stevie's not with me. We're dizzy on the other side of the rainbow.
Well, and if they were following the lead of Luck of the Irish, what would have happened is Alex and his friend would have walked out of the store, saw Stevie was gone, then they would have given up and they would have just gone and sat on the bench for a couple hours thinking, oh, well, it's over. Just like the leprechaun sat in the car in the rain instead of just walking to a gas station.
And then someone gave an inspiring speech about America, and then they went to go find him.
Yeah, exactly.
yeah.
What a terrible movie.
Yeah, you know what?
This better, though.
I gave it a 4 out of 10 on Luck of the Irish, 4 out of 10 on Letterboxd. And I'm pretty sure I was being generous.
Generous.
Yeah.
That's very generous.
Maybe. Yeah. You know what? I think it's more of a 3. I think the extra star, half a star, was the fact that I probably liked it when I was a kid. But I liked a lot of movies when I was a kid, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But
Well, I mean, it is very different. Like, look, these movies are made for kids. These are family-friendly movies. So it's to be expected that you're going to view it differently as an adult. But that's what's fun about this, right? That's kind of like the whole thing we're doing.
Yeah, and like you say, it's for kids, and like you said before, it for what it's trying to do, it does its job pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, the first time we talked about the about this on the podcast, I know you brought something up, and I thought this could be like a conversation about the sports aspect of it, the fact that it's not that believable that the jocks would pick on Alex because he's a part of their team.
Yes. No, I think that's a very good point. I know that like sports jocks are often made out to be the bully in a lot of like teen movies or kids movies, but it's interesting that Alex is their teammate and they still bully him. Like they bully him hard. When I was in high school, it was a little bit embarrassing now, possibly. I was the quote-unquote manager of the high school basketball team.
Were you the water boy?
Which basically, no, I wasn't the water boy, but I was more like a statistician.
These are some high-quality stats.
I took some very high-quality stats. But I was like really close to the team. And traveled with them and went on like all their trips and everything. And I just didn't find it realistic that teammates would bully their own, you know? And in my experience, like the sports teams in high schools were like all really close. Like if you're on the team, you're a member of the family. And we had all kinds, right? Like kids with very different personalities and different backgrounds who without basketball, you could have seen like they're not getting along, not talking, or maybe even bullying. But as a member of a team, it's like your family, and you just don't do that. So I that's something, and it's not just this movie either. It's like other movies. But I just find that, you know, for teammates to behave that poorly was just a little bit unrealistic in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. I can.
I don't know if you've sort of had similar thoughts or experiences, but
yeah, I don't think the jocks in high school were that rude. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a great high school experience anyway, but I just had bad anxiety, you know.
Okay.
I still do, but right. You know, it's kind of better. But with what you're talking about, it did feel unrealistic. Maybe if you were like a band geek or something, not to pick on the band geeks, you know, but
yeah.
It might have been more realistic if he was that. And he's not that goofy looking. He actually looks kind of believable as a quarterback in the
totally
alternate universe. Yeah, but about the football, I thought, mm-hmm. I think with these Disney Channel original movies, there's probably about 30 or at least 25 or 30 that use sports as a main way to tell its story. And I think it's a good way to, it's probably the best way for these teleplays to like show the perseverance, but it also just feels so inconsequential. I have to sing it.
Is it a little bit too early in the morning for you, Daniel?
No. You know what? I'm so smart on paper, and I'm so stupid when I talk.
That's okay. That's what editing is for.
Yes. So I look smarter. What is this? Okay. Well, yeah, but I think the football itself actually like just seems that it's inconsequential to the story, because at one point mm-hmm. Alex gives this big speech, and then in the last 40 minutes, they completely forget about football and they completely forget about Fiona.
Yeah.
Like in general.
Yeah. See, I think this is why the story-wise, I understand why they had his teammates bullying him, because they were setting up the contrast. And they did that, like a lot of things, they were just setting up the differences between the two realities. And so I get that they wanted to show like, oh, hey, his teammates hate him and he's just a bench warmer. And oh, now look, he's like a superstar and everybody loves him. So I understand why they did that. But I think like they didn't need to, right? They could have done anything. They could have done so many different things. He could have been in drama club, or he could have been in band and been like the shittiest saxophone player. And then in the new reality, like the all-star rock star drummer or something like that, you know, like they didn't have to do football. They didn't even have to do sports, because, you know, I think I complained in the first episode about how these movies often use sports as like the medium to illustrate a character change.
Okay.
And that didn't even happen in this movie, right? Like the sports wasn't even really for that purpose. It was as useful as the squeaky gate on their front lawn, right? Where in the one scene, the gate is like squeaky and hard to open. But in the new reality, suddenly the gate opens up just fine. Mm. It's no more useful than that, you know?
I like your idea about the saxophone, though. And it's mm-hmm. that makes me think of La La Land, like, oh, I like jazz because of you.
Yeah.
Okay,
I love La La Land. That's my favorite
know.
Movie.
Of all time? Well.
I don't think I'm...
No.
Maybe I can't say of all time. No.
Maybe of 2016, though.
Definitely of 2016.
Okay. I think
should have won the Oscar.
Right, that was the year that they were like, "Hey, La La Land," and then it was Moonlight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Honestly, I think my favorite one that year was The Nice Guys. That was so amazing. That was so funny.
What movie?
The Nice Guys with Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe.
Oh, The Nice Guys. Oh, yeah, that was okay.
The podcast is over, folks. It's canceled.
Everybody go watch You Wish.
Wait, we're still here. Bobby's canceled. I'm booting him from the meeting. I am going to take over.
Actually, we could probably do a whole nother podcast just on movies we disagree about.
True.
That'd be a solid one.
Yeah, that's true. I love the nice guys, though. Okay, we still have a bit more to discuss for You Wish, but we're almost getting to the end.
Yeah, for sure.
We haven't talked about Abby or James yet, and I think I'll start with Abby and just quickly a nitpick. Or no, I'm sorry, I'm going to start with James and quickly a nitpick.
Okay.
Because there's more to discuss about Abby.
Who's James?
Exactly, Bobby. Who is James? He is the chicken man. He's Alex's best friend in the regular universe, and then in the alternate, he barely gets used. At one point, though, and I think this is my biggest nitpick, and also the point that makes me think, okay, I'm too critical about these movies, but it's where Alex is trying to see Stevie / Terrence in the alternate universe, and he at where he's filming, and he jumps out of a dumpster, and it's a very narrow alleyway, and James is on a bike, and he has a good 6 seconds to see that Alex is in the middle of the alleyway and stop his bike, but instead he crashes into him, and he says, stupid jock strikes again, or super jock strikes again, or whatever he
super
says.
Jock,
But it's dumb.
I mean, I mentioned in the beginning that I enjoyed the fact that there were multiple layers to the alternate reality story. It wasn't just about finding the older brother or finding Stevie, but at the same time, that layer of the best friend was not utilized very well,
and it fell
pretty flat.
Yeah, and I feel like they almost amalgamated that. Ooh, I actually said a word on the first time.
Did you say amalgamated?
Yeah.
On one attempt?
Yeah, I did, because I'm going to edit out all the other shit where I can't say it on the first attempt. But just know that I have a hard time saying words.
I can vouch for your amalgamate. That came out in one swing.
I'm going to try it again right now. It's not going to go well. But they amalgamated that into, ooh, okay.
You did it again. Wow.
I'm impressed with myself, and I'm throwing myself off.
Bravo. That's like a real clap.
Wow.
Full clap for that one.
Full clap. Thank you.
Full clap.
Yes, they amalgamated Abby and James almost into one. So he's trying to be like, hey, I was your best friend in the other universe, and then he and by the way, in the original universe, it's very on the nose that Abby likes him, and at one point when Alex is trying to get Fiona's affection, she's like, you know, sometimes you really like somebody and they don't even know you're alive. I can relate. You know,
I can relate. Yeah, they had to add those last three words there.
And
that's definitely like very tropey, I have to say. But
yeah,
and 2003 we're talking. So
all Abby wants to do is show him a new trick at the skate park, and it sounds like a euphemism, but it's not. She really just wants to show him a new trick.
Yeah.
Well,
but she does want a little bit. She wants a little bit more though.
Yeah,
she wants to spend time with him.
Show him a couple, Netflix and tricks.
Come and spend some time with Lelaine.
Yeah, maybe do a little bit of meth.
Maybe do a little bit of meth.
Now, if you want to talk about her history within 3 seconds. Yeah, she got, you told me she got arrested for methamphetamine possession.
Yes, it did.
Now, but even the character herself, I can't trust her, because at one point Alex she's like, what's my favorite snack? And he says it's a mustard and sugar sandwich. And you know, that's the most disgusting thing I might have heard. I hate mustard, so that's why it's disgusting. But if mustard even touches me, I'll scream like a fourth grader.
Yeah, that's a pretty strange one. And I mean, like, I understand they had to come up with something unique so that only he could know that, but like mustard and sugar, at least come up with something like real. Like, who has that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's enough mustard alone in, or I'm dumb. I feel like there's enough sugar in a tablespoon of mustard. Damn it. I can say amalgamation, but I can't say a sentence.
I know what happened, Daniel.
What?
I know what happened now. I think it was Lillene. She was like her favorite snack is mustard and crystal meth sandwich. But when they asked for ideas, she's like, "Well, I can't say meth. Like, what's something similar? Oh, sugar. I'll just say like sugar." So she's like, "Oh yeah, how about mustard and sugar sandwich? That would be different, right?" And they ran with it.
You know what?
It's my theory.
I can definitely see that happening in the pitch meeting.
Because what writer would come up with that? I wouldn't. Would you?
You know what?
A professional screenwriter.
True, you are as well. But no, yeah. I mean, I think people should enjoy regular snacks that human beings would actually consume, and I don't think mustard and sugar is one of them. Now,
it could have been something. Yeah, so many different things could have been.
Now you had talked about Alex's big speech accepting Player of the Year in the alternate universe.
Right.
And Abby's, it's a school function, not really, but it's at night, and Abby is there simply reading a book about UFOs.
Like that, we have so many nitpicky things, it's going to make it sound like this is not a good movie. It is a good movie. But like that was another weird moment for me when they're sitting in like a very classy auditorium, you know, like probably like a rich like school hall of some kind, like a private school setting almost, it looked like. Yeah. Anyway, it was a very nice, beautiful setting, huge crowd, everybody's dressed up. And she's sitting there in the audience reading a book on UFOs. And I get that, like, they want her to hear his speech to help with the story a little bit. But, like, why did she have to be reading a book about UFOs?
Because to show that she does not care about the event, but she wants to get dressed up and read a book about UFOs in public.
So why did she go in the first place?
Yeah, and you know what? I would also argue that it doesn't do anything for the story, because when he sees her next, she's like, "Oh, what now?" As if she had not smiled throughout his speech when he seemed like he was changing. And it's just, it goes like three steps back with that one.
They really could have just, I don't think they needed the book. I don't think they needed a thing. And by the way, this was 2003. You know how they would have done that today, right? She could have been there. Exactly. She could have been there with her parents or whatever in the audience. That's fine. And she could have just been on her phone the whole time.
Oh, I would. You know what? It's 2003. I would have loved to have seen her with, you know, drive your car in there, use the car mobile, and just talk on, just in the aisle of the auditorium, park your car there, and talk on the phone the whole time.
Yeah, no kidding. Or maybe, like, roll in like a Super Nintendo or something.
Yes. Plug it into the car. It's an electric car. Yeah, like a whole video game setup. Just to prove the point of the movie's trying to make.
Yeah. So I totally hear you on that, though. That was a bit weird. And actually, can I tell you very quickly where I thought they were going to go with that?
Yes,
I thought that they were showing, most movies are pretty good at this, like only showing things that are important, right?
Well,
and so, well, okay, not most, maybe, okay, well, anyway,
not
you know
we
I mean.
Wish, yeah, fair enough, sorry.
This, not we wish. So I thought there was a point to her reading about UFOs. I thought they were going to try and tell us something, and so I thought that maybe they were trying to say that she was like a little bit of a sort of a conspiracy theorist type, and that she would therefore be more susceptible to believing Alex's story about being in an alternate universe. That's kind of where I thought they were going to go with that, but it ended up not coming into play whatsoever.
You wish they had a purpose for that UFO book.
Oh, he nails it.
We peaked. Nice. That is the peak of the podcast.
The podcast is now over. For real. Well, it is over now. I mean, we got to end on a high note.
We could, but I have a couple more points, I think. You know, the music score for this movie is very Disney Channel original movie, but the music is pretty good. There's like You Wish. Oh. The theme song is kind of a banger. And Vanessa, what's that song called? Vanessa Carlton's A Thousand Miles plays.
Daniel, my heart skipped a beat in a good way when I heard that delightful little piano jingle.
And I would walk a thousand miles to see Stevie tonight.
That's great. I like that. That was my jam. That was my 2003 jam. I was so obsessed with that song. I just loved the tune. I just loved it. I had a little dance party in my house when that song came on.
Bobby, but
because I hadn't heard it in so long.
I was going to say, it should be in this present tense that I have dance parties in my house when that comes on.
Well, I had a dance party, yes, which is just one of many that I have had and will have in the future, of course.
Yes.
Every time that song comes on in a movie.
Yeah, and the context is Alex wants his brother back, and he's walking around town. There's little flashbacks of all the good times he had with Stevie. And then you randomly see, like, I don't know how this has to do with the story, but I think it's the moment that made me laugh the most when Alex randomly sees a truck with a turkey on it, and he says, gobble, yeah, gobble, and then he chases after it.
Yeah. And,
you know, I think Jennifer Lopez is a better actor than AJ Troth, but I think his line delivery is better than when J-Lo says gobble, gobble in Geely.
Okay, see, I know from our last discussion what you're talking about.
Yes, yes.
But I have not seen that movie, so I don't know the reference.
You know, I don't think there is a reference. Jennifer Lopez just lays on the bed. To tell Ben Affleck that she wants sex, she slaps the bed tenderly and says, gobble, gobble. But it's just no context to this scene in Ghibli.
Yeah. Can I make one little note about their whole running around? With Stevie, the one thing that I thought was a bit odd is how he ran around downtown with him for so long, and then they finally get to the house, and I don't know if it's Lillian's house. Anyway, they get to the house with Lillian, and then they're like, "Okay, we got to go get that coin." So they leave the house again, but first they're like, "Stevie, you need to put on a disguise." And I thought, well, wait, what? A disguise now? Like, you just ran around for hours in public with him, and all of a sudden you think he needs a disguise? I thought that was kind of a little bit weird, and all they did was, like, put a hat on him. So I thought that was kind of unnecessary.
I think they were getting worried that the cops were going to find him. Because at one point there's a cop rolling down the street looking for Stevie, I think. It is very weird. He's not that big of a star.
Yeah, I thought it was because they were, like, worried about him being recognized by just other random people. But maybe you're right. That would make more sense.
Maybe a bit of both.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Plus, you know, you don't want to get caught in person, like, on camera or whatever, like, with a meth dealer. So.
Shots fired. Needles pushed.
I hope that Lillian is okay. I hope she's recovered and gets the help that she needs. And we wish her nothing but the best.
It was like 12 years ago, right? I think she's good by
now.
Yeah,
I want to say it was like 2008 or something like that.
Okay, I hope she's good by now. I don't.
Yeah.
People, I have no association with this man. He's making the meth jokes. I'm not anymore.
I had to get one more out there.
Yeah. Okay. Now I have a couple more thoughts on this one, and then.
Sure. Yeah. I think I only had one more thing.
Okay.
Right at the end.
This is an objective comment on the film.
Yeah.
I thought the editing was bad. There's so many weird transitions. Like it just, the camera zooms down the street and they use that transition about 5 times. And I know you had talked about the close-ups in Luck of the Irish, and I,
right, yeah,
or just a shot of them reacting to something, and I noticed it a lot more here. It seems like the camera was right uncomfortably in people's faces at times, and it just looked looked bad.
Yeah,
but it's a good movie.
Yeah, it is. We swear to God, that's a good movie.
I feel like I need. I feel like whenever I say something negative, I have to be like, "Hey, but it's pretty good."
So. Well, I think that, but I think that like says a lot about how what we think of this movie. Because I mean, it's a Disney Channel original movie. There's always going to be things to pick apart.
Yes. Even with High School Musical, there probably will be things to pick apart.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Absolutely. But at the end of the day, like, we're also spending time looking for this stuff, right? We're pausing and taking notes and, like, really observing as we're watching through. But this movie, I could have watched it start to finish without thinking much as a critic.
Yeah.
Which I'm not officially, but fair. And I would have enjoyed it. And I mean, I still enjoyed it, but like I was looking for things too. That's why we were noticing more. But
yeah,
I
feel like if you have like a critical mind, you're always going to be poking holes into it, even if it's a pretty good film.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Absolutely. But yeah. No. It's a good movie.
Now I feel like your last comment is probably what mine will be as well. About the throwing the coins across the room.
Yes.
Now, yeah, did you want me to talk about the setup for that?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
So basically, that Larry guy who owned the store tells them, "I don't know what happened to the owl coin, boys. I sold a bag of coins to someone at the closeout sale." And then Alex goes home defeated. Stevie goes home with his agent, and his dad comes in like, "Hey, boyo, I got these coins at a closeout store or a closeout sale." And Alex doesn't think anything of it. He throws it across the room, and the owl coin dramatically spins on the desk and nearly goes down the vent.
Yeah.
And it's overly dramatic. And then the parent, he shouts, "This is it." And as he's making the wish, the parents are banging on the door saying they're going to call the fire department if he doesn't come out. Because, hey, we're Disney. We can do action, too, when we don't need it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that the whole parents banging on the door, threatening to call the fire department because they heard their kid yell something. What did he yell again? What did he?
This is it.
This is it. This is it. So is that, if you're a parent and your kid yells in his room, "This is it," is that like your cue to call the fire department?
I think they probably they probably thought he was doing something more suggestive.
I thought that was a bit absurd as well, because so as a bit of background, Alex actually, if you haven't gathered already, is he likes coins. He collects coins.
Yes, that's important.
And so In the new reality, he also shows an interest in coins, and his dad picks up on that. So at the end of the movie, his dad has a gift for him, and it's these coins.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, like, right after he's just heard that his coin he's looking for was sold in a closeout sale, his dad says, "I bought these coins in a closeout sale." And they're in a little box.
As if nudging him.
Alex doesn't even open them.
Yeah.
As if to, you know.
Hint, nudge, it. Nudge, motherfucker. Yeah, I got these at a closeout sale. Like saying the words very slowly, and he's still fucking stupid and throws them across the room.
And I thought that might even be the one moment out of all the moments that I can't forgive in this movie. Like, how do you not open that box? You have to. You have to open that box. And I understand that, like, by throwing it across the room, you get that dramatic moment of the coin sort of landing on its edge and spinning on the tabletop. But I just thought it was pretty, like, super unrealistic that he would just throw them away like that.
Yeah. I forgot to mention the first time we recorded this, but I'm trying to think back of when I was eight. I'm pretty sure 8-year-old me would have been like, no, it can't go down the vent. Then he can't get his brother back. So I feel like for 8-year-old me, it works. But for 25-year-old me, it's stupid as heck.
Well, okay. I know I do this a lot.
Yeah.
But I think this is how they could have done it better. So you mentioned that, like, you talk about how his parents came and were banging on the door and, like, it seemed like a dramatic moment because they were like, oh, yeah, are you okay? We're going to call the fire department. They didn't need to do that. They didn't even need the parents involved at all because it's just a box mix of coins, right? So what they could have done is, like, Alex opens it up. He kind of looks through it. He doesn't see it. And he gets disappointed. It's like, ah. And then he gets upset. So he tosses them across the room. And then the coin lands, right? So it was just a question of the coin being, like, tucked away in a fold in the box or something like that, you know? So he didn't see it when he went through it the first time. And then if you want some action, then just make the coin actually go down the vent. And then suddenly you're on this, like, chase to find the coin that is, like, just out of reach, you know? That could have made it a little bit more exciting.
You know what? Actually, I like that idea much better than this. But at the same time, at this point, they only had, like, 9 minutes left of airtime. And I think the kids' attention spans are going away. So they're like, okay, let's just think of a way that adults will think is stupid, but kids will accept it. Let's just end this.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, the audience is kids. And so the moment where the coin is, like, just about to fall down the vent is probably still, like, a pretty exciting moment if you're a kid.
Yeah, exactly. You have anything else to add?
There is one thing that I did find super interesting about that ending. And that is, as soon as he had the coin, I thought, I wonder, like, how he's going to wish for this. Right? Like, because you have to be careful, because if you don't get the wording properly, then you might still get some alternate version of reality. Or you might get, like, a totally different wish completely, right? Like, so I mean, it's hard to answer this question now because we've seen the movie and we know what he says, but, like, if you're in that moment and you have to wish to get, like, back to the old reality, like, how would you word that? Like, how would you word that wish so that it's not misinterpreted?
Yeah, honestly, I'd probably just wish for my brother back, but genies, you know, magic coins, they're tricky.
Well, yeah, like, if you just wish for your brother back, and you might get, like, a different person, you might get Stevie, but, like, still be in the new reality.
Yeah, Alex actually says what he's, like, his wish is, I wish I didn't make the first wish, which is clever.
I thought that was actually super clever. And to be honest, that to me is, like, the hardest thing the writers would have had to come up with. Because I struggled with that. Like, before he made the wish, I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, like, how would I say that? Yeah, and then when he said it, I was like, oh, that's brilliant.
You know, and then, you know, for a Disney Channel version of the movie, it's pretty smart, because even we can't poke a hole in it. We could try, but,
yeah,
know, it's, you know what, it's actually pretty,
I mean,
pretty good.
I'm not a genie, but, like, I'm pretty sure that's a flawless wish.
Yeah, if I were Robin Williams in Aladdin, and he gave me that wish, I'd be like, yeah, buddy, you're good. I'll give that one to you.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Okay. Yeah, so I don't know if you have any concluding thoughts, but as a kid, I would have saw this on the premiere, watched this again the next day. It's just a good, feel-good movie about loving your siblings. Then in the end, he realizes he has a great life, great brother, great friends, and he gets funny pancakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he gets his funny pancakes. And you know what? I don't even think that, like, he had a terrible life. I think it was, like, it gave him, like, just enough perspective to strengthen the relationships that he had.
No, true. Yeah, so now that we've talked about You Wish, we're not really giving it a grade out of 10 because we're just going to rank.
Yeah.
At the end of the year, we'll rank all the ones that we've watched. But
yeah, it's a good idea.
This one is, I think this one's a thumbs up. I feel like I can give it more of a rating than you because you don't have a big reference point yet. But I think this one, even with the nostalgia, I think this one's a 6 out of 10. But it's a good 6 out of 10.
I only have Luck of the Irish to compare it to, really. Maybe High School Musical. To be honest, it's been a really long time since I've seen High School Musical. But
okay.
So I would be tempted to rate it higher than 6 at the moment. But I think I probably just need to see more of these first before I can give it an honest, accurate ranking.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, I had one question.
It's good.
Yes, it is good. Now, this isn't a Disney Channel original movie question, but I think it's an interesting conversation topic. What was your favorite movie of last year?
Favorite movie of last year. You know, Parasite was good. Don't get me wrong. I think it was very deserving of the praise that it got and the awards that it got.
Okay.
But you know what my favorite movie was, believe it or not, drum roll please. Klaus. The movie Klaus on Netflix. I like to be dramatic. Yes.
No,
it's more fun that way. No, honestly, that's the movie that I remember from that year. And maybe like it's I don't know if it's because I'm not watching as many movies since having the Wii one here.
Sure.
But Klaus just like really just grabbed me. It just like emotionally, and the animation, the effect like was so good in it, and the story was wonderful. That's Klaus is definitely it for me.
Yeah, for honestly, sure. I saw a lot of movies last year, but Klaus I think would be my like top 20. Okay. I loved it. I just loved how one action could benefit the community and just one act of kindness could just change it. And I thought that was really cool. Animation was great too. And it was just a first time movie, like a first movie from a new studio doing Disney better than Disney.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I couldn't have put it better. I mean, especially the animation actually, there's a great podcast with the director, Sergio Pablo. I think it was the Bancroft brothers.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, from like years ago, actually, where they were talking about this movie and how they were going for, it's 2D animation, but they're going for kind of a 3D look. And they did that. Like they did that quite impressively, actually. I think just for the animation alone, they deserve, kudos. But yeah, story-wise, I mean, that, that like that montage with that song. I had tears. Tears were going. Tears were running that day.
I definitely cried on that one. Yeah, I mean, and saying Disney better than Disney. I think Disney movies are still good, but I think it just recaptured that kind of magic.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
And like maybe if it had been Disney that did it, they would have won more awards.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like if Disney's name is on that, that wins the Oscar and not Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
Nothing against Toy Story 4. I liked it. Just not as memorable as the other three.
Oh, yeah. So what was your top pick for 2019?
I think I watched like 220 from 2019, and I'm still have like 60 on my list.
Wow.
You know what? I think I put Little Women at the top of my list because I was just so surprised by it, by how much I loved it, because I'm not usually big on period dramas, but it was a different beast. Mm-hmm. But after seeing Parasite for the third time in an IMAX, you know, and I think that has to take the top spot because it's just a different beast. Like, I think, top movie, I'd probably Parasite, maybe favorite, Little Women, but I'd have to watch Little Women again, and then I will decide, I think.
Well, I understand, I agree, like, how good Parasite is. I haven't seen Little Women.
Fair.
But I don't know, Klaus is, just that little gem. Just that little gem that came out of nowhere.
Little gem that could, you know?
Yeah.
And though I remember Parasite was very good when I saw it with you. That was the second time I saw it. It was a packed theater the night before the Oscars. I had never seen
that
theater so busy.
I was surprised, to be honest, because that was like a week. Was that a weeknight? No, it was a weekend.
Yeah, it was Saturday night.
It was a Saturday night.
One screening at that theater, and everyone was there.
Yeah. Yeah, so I thought it's like, it's been out for a little bit. It's at a cheap theater, like a discount theater.
Yeah.
And it's a foreign film. So I thought, well, nobody's going to be there. But to my surprise, every old folks home in Ottawa was there to see Parasite.
That's
all good. It deserves the audience.
Yeah. A lot of people there, and that was surprising, but we still had pretty good seats. I had to put a buffer seat between us because I couldn't see past the guy's head in front of me.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Not the best seating in a theater, but the price is right.
The price is wrong, bitch. Happy Gilmore.
Boop, boop, boop. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Now, Bobby, we have talked ad nauseum about You Wish. So, where can the people at home find you on the internet?
They can find me and my dirty, filthy comic that is for a mature audience only at BFly by BS. So that's BEEFLYBYBS. And you can also check that out on webcomics.com as well.
Yeah. So this podcast is PG-13, but that's probably what, R?
Oh, yeah. That's like a... You know, like on webcomics, you have to
label
it as mature content.
Okay.
So I had to label that one. So whenever you go, whenever you click on my comic, and then you click on it and go to read it, and you'll get a warning. This is warning. This contains explicit content.
Okay.
Yeah. No nudity. Not. I mean, we're talking about a cartoon fly and a cartoon bee, but they're just very vulgar.
Yeah, no nudity until season two.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And then we'll pop it out.
Okay, that's good.
What about you, Daniel? Where can folks find you?
I have like a web footprint. You can find me at my website, filmcrazies.com, and you might have found this podcast there. I will also put this on SoundCloud and on my website. And I also am a co-host on the Extra Features podcast, which you can find at extrafeatures.ca. And I will also be posting the podcast there on my friend Simon's website. And I also contribute reviews to themoviebuff.net, my friend Mark's website. So I am a critic there as well. And for Twitter, which is important, you can find me at Daniel Prynne. And Daniel spelled the way it sounds. And last name is P-R-I-N-N, as in no-no. Yeah. That's not really funny, but we will laugh anyway.
It gets the point across, though. It's effective. Yes.
Thank you for listening. And I think we're going to be doing Kim Possible. Kim Possible sold the drama and that really bad live action movie on the next episode.
Oh, yeah. I cannot wait to watch those.
You cannot wait to watch one of them. Yes. Which
okay,
one?
Okay, so yes. I'll take that as a warning. Okay. Yeah, this is going to be fun. I can't wait for that.
Okay, guys. See you next time.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.